This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour number three of the G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for making us part of it. Joining us now, Ted Wynn from The Athletic, talking NFL, coming out of week eight, going to week nine now, Ted. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on your home of the Cowboys. How you doing?
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Man, when you watched the Cowboys Sunday night, did you see a team that can still get it together? Like Jerry Jones is selling, or did you see an inexperienced developing team like what Mike McCarthy's saying?
I think I see a team that is lacking talent. I mean, like they need somebody to throw to outside of CeeDee Lamb, and they're trying to find that guy. I mean, Turpin got way more targets than he would on any other team in that game. And defensively, they're just kind of handcuffed because of how weak they are against the run. And I think Mike Zimmer, you know, he tried to play a lot of man coverage against the Niners. The Niners are a team that struggled against man coming into the game, but they had a good game plan for all the man coverage that the Cowboys tried to play. They played man on 50% of snaps, but the looks were just too static and just too easy to beat. I mean, you know, in the first Niners drive, I think it was third and six, they had no receivers on the field. They had Deebo Samuel line up at running back, and the Cowboys had their nickel personnel, which meant a linebacker would be covering Deebo man-to-man, and it's just like things like that you just can't have happen.
So it's a team short on talent, and the coaches aren't helping them. That sounds great.
Exactly. Not a great situation right now.
Well, we have a tremendous amount of respect for Mike Zimmer here, as a lot of people do. But one of the thoughts that, you know, has been presented is he old? Has the game passed him by? Or do you think he just doesn't have the tools to implement what he can do?
I mean, I was pretty excited about Mike Zimmer coming back in the NFL. I was always a big fan of all the pressure schemes, the things he did with Minnesota. And right now, all the simulated pressures, creepers, and those things are kind of like the hot scheme in NFL. So I thought he would come in and fit right in. But I think right now, because they're still weak against the run, they can't run what he likes to do. He likes to run a lot too high. He likes to play a lot of quarters coverage and you know, rotate safeties and that sort of deal. But right now they have to keep an eighth man in a box or else they're going to get gas in the run. They still get gas in the run with eight man sometimes. But it just really limits the menu for what Mike Zimmer wants to do. And I don't think this is a defense that he wants to run. And he just, again, the toolbox with what they're hamstrung to do, it's very limited. But at the same time, there are things that they can do to help the players. And I just don't think it's happening on the field right now.
So the injuries certainly a big reason for that. You pointed that out. But are the bigger overarching problems, do you think, on the offensive side or the defensive side?
I think both. I mean, offensively, you know, Jake Ferguson's supposed to be the Robin to CeeDee Lamb if he's Batman, and they just haven't been able to get the ball to Jake Ferguson downfield. A lot of his targets are just kind of in the flats, and he does a good job of running after the catch. But last year, when they were at the best, Jake Ferguson was, you know, the guy you could trust running down the seam. And when you look at the play design, like sometimes CeeDee Lamb and Jake Ferguson are just kind of in the same spot, and then they're kind of easy to double. I think they have to find a way to take advantage of both their talents. Like if CeeDee's going deep, you know, Jake Ferguson has to be working a one-on-one on a choice route or something on the other side. And I think they really need another deep threat right now. And like I mentioned, Turpin, I think they're trying to get Turpin to be that guy, to be the deep threat opposite of CeeDee, but they just haven't found that other guy that could take the top off the defense when the safety's shading towards CeeDee Lamb right now. So, I mean, I think if you look at the offseason, some of these problems are predictable. Like, I think most people would agree that the Cowboys should have went to look for another threat opposite of CeeDee, and it's kind of predictable what's happening on offense right now. And most people thought the Cowboys should have got stronger against the run up front, and they didn't. And right now they're kind of paying for it.
Ted, I'm fascinated by these teams now. When you look at all the metrics and stuff, and one of them is about the condensed offenses and the ones that play with width. And the Cowboys play with the most width of any other team in the National Football League. Is that something that is hurting them, playing that wide, as opposed to the teams that we see that have success that have been playing more condensed?
Yeah, I think if you're playing more wide, then you need guys to really win outside. And CeeDee Lamb is that the guy that could win outside, but they don't have another guy that can do that. And, you know, again, that's why you're seeing Turpin and Tolbert get these fade routes on opposite side. You need those outside guys if you're going to play the spread style. Because when you're playing condensed, you're helping them out with the shorter splits. You're helping them helping out receivers with traffic. You're helping them out with those type of plays. But when you're outside, you're isolating these guys and saying, you got to win. But they don't have those guys that could win right now.
We're talking with Ted Wynn of The Athletic. And, Ted, you watch all the film. You study all these teams. When you whoever you consider to be the best play caller or play callers in the league, how big of a gap is there from Mike McCarthy and what you're seeing him deploy offensively for the Cowboys and the teams that are doing it the best?
I mean, I was pretty encouraged with what Mike McCarthy was doing last season when Dak was putting all those efficiency numbers up. But this season, like you said, I feel like offensively and defensively, they've just been sort of static. So, I mean, I would say Mike McCarthy's probably, if I had to rank all the play callers in tiers, he'd probably be kind of in the middle tier. You know, I don't think he's helping this offense as much as he can with scheme, but at the same time, like, there's still sound concepts, and I don't know if he's doing anything necessary to hurt the players. Like I mentioned, they're kind of just limited by what they have roster wise.
Ted Wynn of The Athletic with us. What if you could replace Mike and Brian Schottenheimer with the best possible coaches with an optimized game plan? How much better could the results be?
I think, you know, to me, Ben Johnson's probably the top play caller in the league right now. So, I don't think the run game has ever been Mike McCarthy's strength. He's always been a West Coast, very high pass rate type of guy. And obviously having a run game in this modern era right now to help this team, especially with the limited pass catching talent, could help immensely. I know that the running backs aren't amazing, but I think if you have a coach that's really good at scheming up the run game, it at least gives them something that they could hang their hat on. And right now it's just too much on Dak's shoulders. So I don't know how high the ceiling could be, but I would think they'd be a above average team at least, because you do have a superstar in CD. And I think Jake Ferguson's a good, good second target. I think there's ways around, you know, that you could scheme that kind of takes advantage of both these guys' talents. And I don't know if the ceiling is a top 10 of offense, but maybe they could get in that 12th, 13th range, hypothetically.
Hey, Ted, it's kind of looking at the division, the Commanders, and it looks like that Cliff Kingsbury has kind of found himself with his play calling. What has been the biggest difference with him? Is it simply that he's found somewhat of a running game now to be paired with his concepts, or is it something different that you're noticing on tape that's given him an advantage?
I think with Cliff Kingsbury, he's always had a very good run game. Even in Arizona, he's always been very good at scheming up the quarterback run game. But the problem is his offense has kind of sputtered out the second half of the season. What he does is pretty simple, because they play with a ton of tempo, and when you play with a ton of tempo, you're not going to, you know, have a ton of motion shift and a ton of different concepts. So what they're doing is relatively simple. They're not asking a ton from Jaden Daniels, but what they're doing, they're executing at a very high level, and obviously Jaden is playing at a very high level as well. So I'm interested to see if this kind of tapers off, because Kingsbury has put up similar numbers with Arizona early in the year. And then later in the year, for whatever reason, maybe teams just start kind of catching up to the simplicity of the offense. Maybe they start catching up to the hand signals and everything that they use with tempo. But they start tapering off the second half of the season. So there are definitely things that he's doing better this year, this time around. But I'm interested to see if he can continue evolving and kind of avoid that second half taper off that we've seen from him in the past.
one of the big offensive coordinator names from last year, Bobby Slowick. Have teams caught up to him and what he wants to do there with C.J. Stroud in Houston?
Yeah, I mean, I think last year he made a name for himself because the Texans' offense was so bad the year before that, raising that level of play to a certain level got him some notoriety. A lot of that had to do with C.J. Stroud and just how lights out. I mean, he had one of the best rookie seasons of all time, but there was still some criticism of his offense. Like, he would, be in love with that run pass sequence, even though the Texans were just such a bad team running the ball. And then C.J. Stroud would kind of get them out of a bad situation on third down. And that's kind of happening this year too, but it's becoming harder because the Texans offensive line might be even worse than they were last year. They just lost Stephon Diggs, and Nico Collins has missed games. I think last year he did get a little bit of hype just because of the big improvement and C.J. Stroud playing so well. But this year we're seeing some of those problems that he had last year, and they're being magnified because the expectations are higher.
What are you seeing from the Eagles' offense? They're off maybe their best performance. It was the Bengals' defense, though, so you have to kind of have the asterisk on it a little bit. But what are you seeing from Hurts, Kellen Moore, and this Eagles' offense?
Yeah, I think Kellen Moore is making some smart adjustments, and he is adding some creativity that they desperately needed last season. And I think the big adjustment he's made is Jalen Hurts just doesn't look as explosive as he once was. And the league has kind of cracked down on these RPO rules and illegal man downfield, and that was such a big part of the Eagles' offense during their Super Bowl year. So I think he's adjusted by going away from the quarterback option game. They're running Saquon Barkley from under center more. And when you add Saquon Barkley and the Eagles offensive line, which is one of the best in the league, and you're running him downhill, you're going to get some production. And when they do run Jalen Hurts, they're running him more on like quarterback draws, or they're just having him just run the ball directly from just taking a snap and running without an option. And what that allows him to do is it gives him a bit of a runway. So instead of standing still and reading the defense and then pulling the ball and having to build up your speed from just a standstill, he's able to kind of build his speed towards the line of scrimmage and run. I think that's a really smart adjustment. So what they've done is they're kind of separating their run quarterback and running back run game, and it's paying dividends.
How about the Falcons? They're next on deck here for the Cowboys. What have you seen from Kirk Cousins in that offense?
Yeah, I think Kirk's playing at a very high level. I think his mobility is getting a little bit better. It's never going to be, he's not going to be a Jaden Daniels or anything, but he's at least being able to, get out there in the stretch plays and then, run a little bit of a boot or move a little bit in the pocket. And he's just getting more comfortable in his offense. And some of the top tier talent that we've seen on this Atlanta team that is getting wasted, now they're all of a sudden getting the ball. Drake London looks like a very good receiver. Kyle Pitts is starting to fulfill his fantasy promise that a fantasy drafter has been hoping for years. And Bijan Robinson's making plays. This is a very talented offense. They just needed competent play from the quarterback. And I think Kirk wasn't quite ready in the beginning of the season, but he's starting to look healthier, and he's looking very comfortable in this offense.
It's Ted Wynn of The Athletic. All right, Ted, we're out of here. Thank you so much. Enjoy week 9.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Salute. A must read, I think. A must follow. Ted Wynn, great journalist, great film guy, knows all the answers to your football questions, and that's why we wanted to get him on the show. The last Flagtober stop of the year is tomorrow. Whataburger off 161 in Grand Prairie. That's 2630 161 right in front of the Walmart Supercenter. Stinks coming up at 440. We'll talk with Mark Schlereth. But top 10 at 420 is next. Wooly Bully, what's in store?
Let's do it. The top 10 worst plays in the history of the National.